Of Unfiltered, part of the Santa Mirta Podcast Network. I'm Ben, and I'm the guy with the unfiltered opinion here. If you're just tuning in for the first time, I write a weekly online column about living in Santa Cruz, California, called The Weekly Dump. It's published every Thursday night over on www.santamirta.com. Go check it out if you're not familiar with it. Lots of people seem to like it. And a few people seem to hate it. So, of course, the big topic to talk about this week is Camp Bernal. On Friday morning, the city officially posted their 30-day eviction notices on the fence surrounding Camp Bernal. Last week, the city and county issued a joint press release announcing some sort of collaborative plan to basically shut it down. The plan basically involved opening or expanding more shelter space, expanding more emergency transitional services, and possibly reopening the River Street dirt parking lot. But the bottom line is the status quo has got to go here. And they made that pretty clear in no uncertain terms when they posted that eviction notice. So here's what the notice read. Quote, notice to vacate, effective immediately. The area immediately west of the San Lorenzo River between Gateway Plaza and Highway 1, also known as the Ross Encampment, is hereby closed to public access, and rights to access are further restricted. This notice serves as an official notice to vacate. All personal effects and persons must be vacated by March 15, 2019. So it's basically a 30-day notice. So back to Camp Bernal, because that's what it'll always be called for me. The Board of Supervisors made good on their side of things when they passed some sort of emergency funding for this homeless crisis. Basically, their solution involves a number of things. One of them is to open more shelters. Brilliant. Why didn't I think of that? How much are we paying these guys? So they approved funding to expand shelter beds at the Live Oak Center. That's good. Out of the city. Even better, it's in Leopold's district. But they also want to expand the beds at the Salvation Army location on Laurel. Bad. We don't need another shelter downtown. And right across the street from Santa Cruz High School, you want to have unregulated transients, some of who probably are felons out on early parole, thanks to Props 57 and 47, some of who might be unregistered sexual predators, basically living across the street from the local high school. And it's right in the middle of a neighborhood. We just never learn from our mistakes here. So here's what I honestly think is going to happen. More shelter options will become available, and those who want to take advantage of them will. But many won't by choice, due to there being too many rules. I have no idea what percentage that second group is of the total group in Camp Bernal, but I'd guess that it's probably at least half. Those people won't use shelters because they simply have too many rules. That group's going to disperse throughout the city again. Some might leave town. Some might find other places to camp in parks and green belts like the Poganip. But life's going to go on without Camp Bernal. The city won't implode once it's gone. We did this with Occupy. We did it with Camp Coonerty. Now we have to do it all over again, because we keep electing the same morons to run this town. And all this rain and bad weather has made a real mess of things, literally and figuratively. The camp is set next to a flood-prone river that has been rising rapidly for the past week. It's an environmental nightmare. And we own it. We broke it. We own it. And now it's time to fix it. But here, Here's my $10 million question. Why now? If we can do this now, why couldn't we do this in November? Why did 3 months pass before the city pulled their head out of their collective ass and enforced the law here? Did that Idaho court case that the city and our police chief love to quote as law suddenly become less law? No. It was never a law. It was a court case that we've been hiding behind and conveniently used as a scapegoat and an excuse to tolerate. So now we've magically decided we've had enough. Why? Not complaining. I just think it's 3 months too late. And I'm sure the merchants at Gateway Plaza do as well. So I need a refill and an attitude adjustment. I'll be right back in a minute or two. But enjoy a bit of rain-inspired music while I'm gone. Be right back. I'm back, and that was a beautiful little piece of music called Rain Falls Soft by Don Meyer, featuring the lovely and talented Rebecca Law on vocals, courtesy of ccmixter.org. So we had a Santa Cruz City Council meeting this past Tuesday. To say it was a circus was a given. They're a big part of what keeps Santa Cruz weird. But this was even weird beyond our usual weird benchmark. At one point, the mayor publicly on record accused Chris Crone and Sweetie Muffintop of bullying her. She read a prepared statement in front of everyone, calling them out by name. And while she read her statement, What are these two man bros doing? Listening? Paying attention? Acting professional? No. They were chatting with each other. Goofing off. Getting up and bothering the city attorney, who probably told Crone to sit down and shut up. The smug, smart-ass look on their faces said it all for me. Thank God everyone else had the good sense to sit there and shut up and listen. Those two dopes were on their own little bro island here. Dysfunction Junction. What's your function? To waste 9 hours fighting with each other and not getting anything done. Sounds about right. These are the people that we voted for here. Not me. I didn't vote for these clowns. I have so much to say about why we ended up where we are here. Some of it I've said so many times, I'm just tired of talking about it. But it all boils down to what I say at the end of each show here. We get what we're willing to tolerate. Martine Watkins has been tolerating an endless barrage of bullshit from Chris Crone and Sweetie Muffin Top since day one. Crone treats city council meetings like his own personal bully pulpit. Pretty much every single person I know who saw this did a slow clap for the mayor here, myself included. Crone is a hypocrite of the worst kind. Let's not forget how he and his wife have been fighting an expansion of a local mental health facility for years in order to protect the precious swamp next to their property. He's been a roadblock to increasing affordable housing for some of the most vulnerable people in the community, those suffering from mental illness. He's a clown. And he was a clown the first time he was elected to the city council. Just never learn. And I heard at the next city council meeting, I believe it's scheduled for February 26th, the city council is going to discuss the idea of allowing RV overnight parking on Delaware from Swift to Schaefer Road, as well as the possibility of using the parking lot at Delaware and Natural Bridges for RV overnight parking, basically for people living in their vehicles. Good Lord, why is it so hard to say no here? I'm constantly hearing from the same group how we want this and we demand that. And what are they contributing here? Their raw sewage being dumped in the gutters and leaching into the ocean? Gee, thanks. I say the same thing to end each show here. We get what we're willing to tolerate. How many other California cities offer this? Probably none. But we know what's best here, despite the obvious issues with conventional wisdom. So back to that $10 million question about the timing of closing Camp Bernal. I doubt we'll ever get the truth or an honest answer here. I've gotten neither up until now. Why should I expect anything differently? The city, the county, the police chief, they've all been hiding behind some dubious court ruling in Idaho as their justification for doing nothing for the past 3 months. How many times did we hear, "Sorry, there's nothing we can do"? Or, "It's against the law for us to shut it down." Or some other load of crap city manager approved public statement disguised as an excuse to do nothing. Our city leaders have such a defeatist mentality. We have no roadmap to success. All we have is a blueprint for failure. 3 months have passed since the city shut down the other homeless camp on River Street. The one that was costing us almost $100,000 a month just to maintain a city-owned dirt parking lot? Yeah, there's a lot of WTF in these decisions, but how can any reasonable, rational person think that this was a successful plan or even a good idea? And I'm talking about people not directly involved in the idea or benefiting from it. Hardly anyone. So when the city shut it down, and the majority of people just basically decided to walk a quarter mile down the road and cross the highway, the city, the county, and the chief all basically looked the other way. They could have nipped this in the bud, but they chose not to. This dump should have never been allowed to fester and grow in the first place. But people are too politically gutless to say that. And who paid the price? The gateway merchants. How much business did they lose? How much bullshit did their employees have to deal with the last 3 months? Just ridiculous. But I am glad it's being shut down finally. Heard the city is also basically siphoning other money budgeted for park maintenance to set aside just to clean up this mess after they leave. You know they will pull literally tons of crap out of this camp. Heavy machinery will be required. Dozens of city workers will be deployed to clean up after these slobs. Mind you, I'm not mad. More like exasperated. This is what living here is like. I've come to accept that. I try to laugh about it and poke fun at it. Beats getting mad. It's more like getting even. So get up and shake that funky thing.
Give it to me. 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 Give it to me.
Gotta shake your funky thing.
Give it to me.
Gotta shake that thing.
Gotta shake it. Give it to me.
Shake that thing. Shake that thing. Gotta shake it. Gotta shake it. Gotta shake it. Give it to me. Shake that thing. Shake that thing. Shake that.
So here are a few things I'll be talking about in the next Weekly Dump. Early Friday morning, around 4 a.m., I think, we apparently had a visit from the Department of Homeland Security, who showed up at a residence with a search warrant and a bunch of agents, looking for someone who may have had a murder warrant issued for his arrest. I thought the whole thing went pretty quickly, quietly, except for maybe the neighbors, and without much fanfare. Then I noticed an article in the Senile featuring the usual cast of progressive kooks, Ole Weller, and of course we get the usual rhetorical fear-mongering from Ernestina. Meh. I wish I hadn't noticed. It's easy to forget about the Senile these days. But back to the bust. Apparently they rolled up and used flash grenades, busted the door down, the usual stuff. Maybe if Santa Cruz wasn't such a hotbed of silly progressive drama, maybe if our local police chief and sheriff weren't so political and gutless, they might get some cooperation and not have to sneak up in the middle of the night to avoid the usual distraction and interference from people like the two I previously mentioned. The Sanctuary City label is meaningless pandering. I think this just proves that. ICE and DHS are going to come in and do their job no matter how much BS propaganda the city and county want to throw in front of it. And then on Friday afternoon, I got word that Human Barnacle Keith, from Food Not Bombs, who I usually refer to as Sugar Bear, is organizing some kind of, quote, emergency protest to get the soon-to-be-evicted squatters in Camp Bernal to move their shit show over to one of the city's parking garages and basically take over a garage as the new homeless camp. What a piece of work this guy is. He's a grifter, like so many other grifters we have here. How many years has he been advocating for the homeless, and what has he really accomplished? Nothing. He feeds people. They would eat otherwise. Likely better and healthier food. The reality is, nobody starves in Santa Cruz. But lots of people got sick last year from Hep A, probably after eating some of his slop. This is just the same ragtag handful of kooks trying to revive the Freedom Sleepers bowel movement, despite the fact that SCPD hasn't been enforcing any kind of sleeping ban anyways. If their cause fails, like it did last time, they'll make up a reason to revive it. They live for this stuff, for the attention, and ultimately the failure. So remember, we've got some great local live music going on around Santa Cruz this week. Here's a few of our picks, and don't forget to support your local musicians and the local music scene.
Greetings, and welcome to the Entertainment Report for the February 17th podcast. Monday the 18th, The Bad Plus at the Coomba at 7 p.m. Tuesday the 19th, Hot Flash Heat Wave at the Catalyst Club at 8:30. Wednesday the 20th, Harlan County Covey Solo at the Reef at 6:30. Also, Cruise Control featuring Patty Maxine at Michael's on Main at 7:30. Tuesday the 21st, Alex Lucero at the Paradise Beach Grill at 6 p.m. solo. Open mic at 6 p.m. at the Santa Cruz Food Lounge. Friday the 22nd, Blue Summit, 6:30 p.m. at the Abbott Square. Also, The Village Green, 8 p.m. at Michael's on Main. This is a tribute to the Kinks. Saturday the 23rd, Highway Release Concert by with Rayburn Brother, Aromas Grange at 6 o'clock. And Sunday, and every Sunday, Mart Hartle's Grateful Sundays at Michael's on Main. And that's it, folks. Entertainment at SierraMierda.com if you have suggestions. And please support live music.
So that's going to do it for another edition of Unfiltered. Don't forget to check out the latest weekly dump, published every Thursday over on www.SantaMierda.com. And check out all of our podcasts on the Santa Mierda Podcast Network over on SoundCloud and on Apple iTunes and on Spotify. Thanks again for lending me your ears. And we'll be back next week with more unfiltered news and views from Santa Cruz. And remember, you can get what you're willing to tolerate. Adios.
One step at a time, don't believe. don't know.